Once again, it's great to see you. You pray for this as it goes out over the radio. Pray that God would bless it, and I pray that God would just continue to use us for His honor and His glory. That ought to be every one of our heart's desire, is that God would just, we would just find ourselves in the center of His will, and we'd ask the Lord to use us and to help us. And man, I this morning as I was studying and praying, and man, I thinking about that song there about more about Jesus. As I was learning more about Jesus this morning, and man, it honestly, when you get to learning more about Him, it really don't matter where you are or who's with you. I mean, it just, man, the Lord just begins to flood your soul with His goodness and His grace. And man, I just enjoyed my time in my study this morning with the Lord. And man, I really did. It's just, I don't know, the Lord just really helped me this morning and encouraged me. I want to be an encouragement to you tonight. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. We're going to read verses 1 and verse number 2. And then we'll get into what the Word of God, has for us. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now remember, last Wednesday night, we talked about, was it Wednesday night before last, that we talked about, remember when you see a therefore, see what it's there for. And then we talked about how that we find they rejected God, they repressed God, then they rejected God and refused God. And then we find here in verse number 5, we find the resolution of what happened, because remember, God was angry at us, and God's angry at the wicked every day. We're standing in the judgment of God. There was nothing we could do to get out of it. The wrath of God was abiding upon us, and then Paul comes up and he says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Aren't you glad tonight that you got peace with God? And now understand this, having the peace of God and having peace with God is two different things. Sometimes we don't have the peace of God because of some circumstances and situations and maybe some choices in our life, but the fact of the matter is, we're always at peace with God. Now understand that you say, how? Why? Because it's in Jesus, and we're going to talk about that. Having the peace of God and having peace with God is two different things. Also, having access to God and utilizing that access that you have to God is two different things. And we're going to look at some of those things tonight. But understand this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have the resolution of the problem that God was angry with us and God had refused us because of our sin. And last week we look at the resolution of our problem here, and therefore we were justified by faith. But now I want to look at the rewards of now that we have been justified by faith. Think about the rewards. And God being our helpers, get your Bible out tonight and let's look at some things at what the Lord has for us. Now remember, according to John chapter 3, verse number 18, for God sent not His Son into the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now understand, we were under the condemnation of God already before we ever heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we were born into sin. Understand, we were under the condemnation of God. Remember, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. Now understand, when we were born, the wrath of God, we were born with the wrath of God abiding upon us. Wherefore is by one man sin of the world, death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. Remember, the wrath of God was abiding on us. But today, I am standing in the grace of God, in the absence of fear, absent of a bashful spirit, and I am not concerned with rejection. Now think about that just for a moment. That's what it means there. He's saying, because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, you and I stand before God in the grace of God with the absence of servile fear. We don't have to fear God anymore. Now think about that just for a moment. I'm not fearing God that God's going to unleash His wrath upon me anymore. I don't have to view God. I don't get to view God. I don't have to view God. The devil wants me and you to view God that way. But God's not angry with us anymore. He used to be angry with us. And God's not a stepfather that doesn't love us. Sometimes we look at God that, well, you know, He's a stepfather that doesn't love us. No, that's not the way it is. He's the Father, and He sent the Spirit of the adoption that we cry, Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy. Man, that's who God is to us. God's wrath's not abiding upon us anymore. Not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus did for us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Go to your Bible in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Look, we're talking about having the peace with God. The reward of salvation and the reward of being justified by faith is that now you and I are at peace with God. Amen. Thank God that we have peace with God. Look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 15. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Look in verse number 16. Why? And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Man, God, when Christ died on the cross, He stretched one arm into heaven and He stretched the other arm to earth. And man, He brought them together. He brought God. Is that not what He's saying? That He might reconcile both unto God in one body. Understand, you and I have been reconciled. Our relationship has been restored. We have peace with God. Now understand, you may not have the peace of God tonight, but that doesn't mean that you're not standing in the peace with God. Amen. Thank God that God's not against me tonight. I disappoint Him, but He still loves me. I let Him down, but He still finds me as one of His children. I'm standing in His grace. I'm standing in abundant mercy. Man, understand, I am at peace with God tonight. Why? Because of what Jesus did for me. He reconciled us. He reconciled us. Now look at James 4:44. Or stay there in Ephesians before you turn. Look, there was enmity between us and God, according to Ephesians chapter 2. Now look at James chapter 4, verse number 4. Let's look at, I'm talking about having peace with God. Let's look at what we were. We were at enmity. But now look in James 4:4. Ye adulteresses and adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I was not only at enmity with God, but I was the enemy of God. I wasn't at peace with God. Man, I remember we had the wrath of God abiding upon us. We were the enemy of God. We were God's enemy. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. God wasn't our father. This universalism of the fatherhood of God is not true. Jesus looked at them and said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. John chapter 8, verse number 44. But now, Christ has reconciled us and put us at peace with God. And we're not a child of the devil no more. We're not an enemy of God anymore. We have peace with God today. Understand this, of what's going on in Afghanistan. The Taliban is an enemy of the state. They are the enemy. They have come in and they have took back control again. And they're the enemy of the state. But now think about this. Those who had been fighting them and standing for what was right, there in the country of Afghanistan for so long, and those Christians who was trying to preach freedom, and those missionaries there, now they have become at enmity with the Taliban, and now they are enemies. There's not peace there anymore. So understand this tonight. You and I, we're not the enemy of God anymore. We're not at enmity with God. Look in Colossians chapter number 1, verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled? Man, we were there again. We were an enemy. We were alienated from God. We couldn't come into His presence, and we're going to tie that in just a moment. But understand, we were cast out. We were an alien to God. We were an enemy of God. Romans chapter 5, verse number 10. I'm talking about being reconciled. We're talking about having peace with God and being reconciled. Because we're going to tie all this back in just a moment. If you're in Romans chapter 5, verse number 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now understand this, and I made this statement the other Sunday when I preached of the much more of Romans chapter 5. If God made me His friend while I was His enemy, He's not going to make me His enemy now that I'm His son or His daughter. Think about that. God's not angry with me. God's not mad at me. God's not being vindictive toward me. I'm not the enemy. If God, when I was His enemy, made me His friend, now that I'm His child, He's not going to make me His enemy. There's nothing that I can do to make God not love me. There's nothing that I can do to make me be an enemy of God. Why? Because I have been justified by faith. Understand, it's just as if I ever never sinned. Man, what a blessing that is. When you grasp that and understand that there's nothing that you and I can do as a saved child of God that we will ever find ourselves as an enemy of God. Of course, what the Word of God says. I was an enemy. I was alienated. But Christ reconciled us. He brought us together. As I said, He reached one hand to heaven and He reached the other hand to earth. And man, He brought them together there on the cross. And thank God tonight, beloved, that we're at peace with God. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean to me that now I have peace with God? Well, look in verse number 2. Not only do I have peace with God, but look in verse number 2. I have access to God. Remember, according to Colossians, I was alienated and an enemy. According to Romans chapter 5, I was an enemy of God. I had no access. I had no entrance. I couldn't get to Him. I may have prayed some prayers and I may have dreamed some dreams about Him and I may have thought some good thoughts about Him, but the fact of the matter is, I was an enemy of God. And there was no way. I had no access. Why? Because remember, God's angry with the wicked every day. Amen? I was already under the condemnation of God. According to the book of John, remember that God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But listen to this verse, that he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. I was already under the condemnation of God. But now, I'm at peace with God. Now, I don't understand this. I don't always have the peace of God. But that's not God's fault because He's given it to me. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Paul said there in Philippians, chapter number 1, verse number 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." We have the peace of God that abides in us, but we're always at peace with God. Understand that. But I don't always, because of the choices and the decisions that I make in my life, I affect my relationship with Him, and when my relationship with Him is affected, I don't always have the peace of God. And guess what? I have learned this. When I don't have the peace of God, I feel like, listen to me, I feel like that I don't have peace with God. That I don't have an entrance. Remember, we're not talking about feelings. We're talking about what the Word of God teaches us. I don't feel like when I don't have the peace of God in my heart, I have this mindset, and it's because of the enemy, that God is disappointed and angry with me, and He's pushing me away, that I don't have an entrance. Yeah, anybody else ever feel that way? But guess what? I'm not the one that got me that entrance. Remember, I'm justified by faith. Is that not what it said? And I have peace with God. Look at verse number 1. Why? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through my good works? No. Through my mindset? No. Through my heart? No. I have peace with God through Jesus Christ. I'm justified. I've been reconciled. And because of that, I have an entrance. Look. By whom? Who's he talking about here? Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now understand this. Just because we have access doesn't mean that we enter. Think about that just for a moment. Just because you and I have an access doesn't always mean that we enter. Now, understand, I have the Holy Ghost of God living inside of me. Amen? I'm sealed to the day of redemption. He lives in me. Amen? But I have access to the Father in heaven. But I don't always utilize that access. Sometimes I still feel alienated. Sometimes I feel an enemy. And I'm standing on the outside. Right? But today I have access. Now think about this just for a moment. Back before, and this is what I want you to understand. Remember, Paul talked about in Romans, he talked about the Jews and he talked about the Gentiles. The Jews, remember, the access to God on the mercy seat and the tabernacle was behind the veil. Right? One priest, one time a year, got to go in there. Everybody didn't have access. The Gentiles couldn't even go across the wall. There was a wall that separated them. They couldn't even go in the tabernacle itself. Okay? They were on the outer part. And that's where it talks about where Christ, y'all remember in Ephesians, broke down that middle wall of partition. Okay, y'all remember that? Anybody remember that in Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 1 or 2 there? He broke down the middle wall of partition. He tore the wall down. Amen? Yes. All right, now we have access. But just because we have access don't mean we always go in. Why? Because sometimes when we don't have the peace of God, we think we don't have peace with God, and we don't feel like that we're worthy of an entrance. But understand this, we're not worthy of an entrance. It's by Him. Look what it said. By whom also we have access by faith. Remember that. It's by faith. Look, we're justified by faith. We have access by faith. It's by faith. It's not based upon what you and I feel. And man, it took me years, and sometimes I still have to go back and remind myself it's not based upon how I feel. It's based upon what I faith that I have in the Word of God, and the Word of God tells me that I have an entrance. But my problem is I go back and I repeat my life over and over again, and I feel like that because I've done bad or I've not been faithful to the Lord, that He's kind of cast me out and He's cast me aside. But that's not true. My access has still been there. I've just not been using it. My own guilt and my own conscience keeps me out. But I have access. Why? Because Jesus gave me that access. You have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Look at this. Verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Look, let us draw near with a true heart in what? Full assurance. Let us come unto the throne of grace with boldness. According to another place there in Hebrews. But notice here, we can enter in. That word boldness does not mean arrogant. It don't mean walk in and bless God, and Lord, I'm here, and Lord, I want you to do this. That's not what he's talking about. That word boldness means confident. It means that I have the confidence that I can go in and enter in to the holiest of holies. I have access to God, that I can go in and I can commune with Him and talk to Him and bear my heart to Him and pray for Him and intercede for others for Him. I have access. I have confidence. But see, when I base it upon my feelings and I don't always have the peace of God, I'm like, well, I don't know if He'll let me in today. Right? Well, I don't know if I live good enough. I didn't read my Bible the last 3 days. I don't know. Maybe He won't let me in today. I made some bad choices. Don't know if He'll hear me today. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says I have access. Why? Because Christ reconciled me unto God. And I'm justified by faith, and I have peace with God. God's not angry with me no more. When He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. Yes or no? The righteousness of Christ has been imputed unto us. Man, the thing about it is, this is what happened. Before I was saved, I was like this. I was naked and open and unashamed. Now, this is the blood of Christ. When I got saved, I became a new creature. The blood of Christ was, and His righteousness was imputed unto me. Remember, Abraham believed God. We done talked about it in Romans chapter number 4. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And when you and I got saved, beloved, the righteousness of Christ was imputed unto us. We put it on. We're covered in it. Amen. When He sees me, He sees Christ. So when I come in the door of the throne room, He don't see Nathan Nix. He sees the Son of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access. I'm not going on my own. Remember what would happen? Y'all remember what would happen to the high priest if he went in on his own? Had any sin whatsoever? Man, they tied a rope around his leg. And they heard them, he had a pomegranate and a bell, and a pomegranate and a bell at the hem of his garment down there. And they, if they heard them bells quit jingling, they knew that he had done something, done messed up, and the wrath of God had the judgment of God came down upon him, and they couldn't nobody else go in there. And they drag him out under the veil there out with that rope. That's not the way it is. The veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Thank God making an access unto us. We don't have to go through the veil. The veil was rent. We're through Jesus Christ. Remember, He reconciled us unto God. And we have access by Him. And we have confidence. Well, I don't always feel like the Lord hears my prayer. Well, maybe you're not praying in faith. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, guess what? He ain't hearing your prayer anyway. But behold, the Lord's arm is not short, and that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, that He had hid His face from you. Now understand this. You said, preacher, I thought that you said that I, when He's seen me, He's seen the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're exactly right. That gives me an entrance. But when I go in line, He don't listen. He don't listen. If I'm lying, I'm going in the flesh and not by faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, right? According to the Word of God. So if I'm lying to the Holy Ghost, you think God's going to hear my prayer? I mean, if I'm lying about my heart and I'm lying about my sin, and you think God's going to give me direction? No. You think God's going to hear me when I pray for somebody else? No. Why? Because I'm lying. I'm like, Lord, everything's all right. I'm good and I'm clean. There ain't nothing wrong. The Lord says, yeah, I see the blood, but I also know your heart. But we have access. Does it change our access? Understand that? Do you understand? It doesn't change our access. We still have access. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Go back. I'm enjoying this as much tonight as I did this morning about 7:30, 8 o'clock. If I can find the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 18. For though for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. There's just another verse that tells us that we have access. Look in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 12. And in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Well, preacher, I just don't feel like I can go in before God and talk to Him and pray. My heart's condemning me. Yeah, but my Bible tells me that God's greater than my heart. But if my heart condemns us not, then we have confidence that we know that whatsoever we ask, that He hears us. Why? Because when we have confidence, we go in faith. Right? All right, so we have access. That's a reward. Remember, Paul, remember, over here, back in Romans 1, 2, 3, and 4, man, there was no way that we could get to God. The wrath of God was abiding upon us. There was God, remember, God's no respecter of persons. All had sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man, Adam and Eve had messed everything up for everybody. And then Paul gets to Romans chapter number 5 and he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Thank God. I mean, man, when it gets a hold of you, I'm beloved that what you couldn't do for yourself, Christ did for you. Hey, man. Thank God that we have that access. Man, that we have peace with God. But not only that, I want you to notice here, because we have access, go to Romans chapter number 5. Go back to Romans chapter 5. By whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein ye stand. Now understand, when I come into the access, I'm standing in, and you don't go back and listen to those messages, you can. They're on sermon audio of whoever's wanting to. If you want to go back and listen to the standing in grace. But understand this, we're standing in grace here. But when I go before the throne to the thrice holy God, from whose face the heavens and the earth fleet away, from where the 24 elders are bowing down upon the throne, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of His glory. Where the seraphims are flapping their wings there around the throne, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of His glory. When I get to go in to stand before Him, because of the access that Christ has given me, understand this, I am not standing in my own righteousness. I am not standing in my own works. I am standing in grace. It's not because of what I've done. It's because of what He's done for me. Not because I earned it, but because He earned it for me. And I just get to enjoy it. It's called grace, the unmerited favor of God. God gives me an entrance. God opens His ears. God opens His hands. And He said, yes, I'm here. Thank God for grace. But I'm standing in that grace. Thus the grace of amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Because we have access to God, we have access to His grace. Ephesians 1:7 says this. I got three verses I want to read. Everybody go to the book of Ephesians. We got three verses in the book of Ephesians we're going to read and then we're done. In whom we have redemption, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I'm talking about the riches of grace right now, just for a moment. We're standing in grace, right? Amen? Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given me that I should preach among the Gentiles. I mean, did I say Ephesians 3:8? Did I tell you all that? Ephesians 3:8, unto me who am the less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 18, that I may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And verse number 19, the first part of that verse says, and to know the love of Christ. Dr. Biederwolf says this, when Nansen was looking for the North Pole, he found himself in very deep waters. He tried to make his sounding, but his line would not reach bottom. He took his book and wrote the date, the length of his line, and added the note, deeper than that. The next day, he lengthened his line and dropped it, and again it fell to touch. Again, he wrote down the date, the length of his line, and added the note, deeper than that. The next day, he gathered all the rope that he could be found on the vessel and made it into one long line and dropped it down, but it did not touch the bottom. Once more, he took his book and he wrote the date, the length of his longest line, and added this note, deeper than that. Oh, the depth of the love of Christ. Man, do you realize how deep the riches of grace that you and I are standing in? Look, not because of who we are, but because of what He's done. Remember, it was by Jesus. Is that not what He said? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And look what He says, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You want to know why Christians are not rejoicing today? Because they don't realize where they're standing. But I'm telling you, when you realize where you're standing, that you're standing at peace with God, and you're standing justified by faith, and you're standing in the grace of God, and man, you're just like, you can be like Nansen when you're trying to figure out how deep the ocean was there at the North Pole. Man, you can just keep dropping the line down and you'll never find the bottom of God's grace. You'll never get to the bottom. Man, it's so deep and it's so rich. You can rejoice in the glory of God too. But there's a third part of that, and I'm not going to preach it tonight. I'll pick up with it next week. Understand this. By whom? It's all because of Jesus. Remember, Jesus said this, I am the door. John chapter 10, verse number 9. John 14:6, He says, I am the way. Now, look at this. Our peace is through our Jesus. Listen to me. Peace takes care of the past. We have access to God through Jesus. Access takes care of the present. Okay? I have peace with God because He's done away with my past. All right? It may haunt me in my mind, but it's my own fault. He don't bring it up. I have peace with God. If I'm worried and I'm scared or I don't have the peace of God, I have access to God, which takes care of my present situation. But he also goes on to tell me here that I have hope of the glory of God, which takes care of the future. Because, remember, this corruption is going to put on incorruption, and this mortal is going to be put on immortal. Remember, and I'm going to go into it a little bit next week, you'll see that where he talks about the glory of God is how you and I will be in the future. We can rejoice now, but we want to get to experience and truly understand the glory of God till we are with Him in all of His glory. And we'll study that out next week. That's the future. But here, Christ takes care of every aspect of our life with God. Our past, our present, and our future. Father, thank You, Lord, for this night.